Do you remember the part, Lee? Because I remember it very well, all the articles about how Elon Musk was finished.
Oh, yeah.
Done. No one was ever going to buy his stuff again.
Right, yeah.
Because he was, of course, a Nazi. Not like a good Nazi, like Grand Platner.
Yeah, with the tattoo and everything.
Right, like a Democrat Nazi, but like a bad Nazi.
Right, yeah.
Like a Republican Nazi, mm-hmm. I mean. Like that. And he was finished. He was done. Because remember, for a while there, I mean, the main buyers of Tesla, I guess, are liberal people. And I guess sales tanked a bit. And
some of the initial ones, yeah.
Yeah. And Elon Musk was finished, man. He was going to be broke. Fast forward to today.
Yes.
Guess it didn't work out for them, did it? It worked out for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got to laugh here because this is one of those things, okay, that reminds me of like Y2K. Nobody really knows what it is. They just know that there's something there and we need to talk about it.
Right. Yeah, I remember that.
What is the SpaceX product?
It's rockets.
Yeah. What? No, I know. To go to space, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So it's okay. You know what I think? I think a lot of people buying it today won't know either. Like, okay, yeah, it's rockets and go to space. Mm-hmm. But, like, what is the product, though? Are a lot of people going to want to go to space? How are we going to get rich? I think the thing with Elon Musk, I don't think people actually know. There's a satellite component, of course, and an internet component. Yeah, right. But neither of them super well-developed beyond the demonstration phase. And then there's speculation about what SpaceX is doing with robots too going forward. I mean, I actually know what it's about. But a lot of this stuff is kind of theoretical. Mm-hmm. But Elon Musk has such a record of success that people are like, I don't care about the details. Yeah. Give me that stock at 135. They're thinking it'll make 4,000 millionaires today. And don't be surprised if he's not wildly successful, even though it looks extremely dubious.
No.
That's just sort of the Elon, Musk formula. I just think it's funny watching these stories on the news where nobody I've watched so far can actually explain with real specificity what exactly the product is. Yes, we know he's developing rockets and, satellites and stuff. Okay, but what is the end product exactly that you're going to monetize for X dollars at X cost and then get Y returns? No one could say. I just think it's really funny. It's just faith in a man. And one of my favorite interviews with him, Lee, I loved this question. Elon Musk, he was asked, what if all your money was gone tomorrow? Mm-hmm. What if you were broke? What would you do? And he said, I wouldn't be worried about that. And he said, I'd be fine. And the interviewer said, well, how would you be fine? He said, well, people will just give me money. And the interviewer just like jaw dropped. And he's like, yeah, they'll just give me money. Because he said they're, they'll want to invest in me to start a new company. It'll be fine. And you know what? He's not wrong. They probably would. And I don't mean give him money like to pay his bills. Right. I mean like investment.
Invest. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's probably absolutely right. I think the guy could lose big one time. And so people be like, well, that's an aberration. Here, buy his stock. So it's going to be interesting to see how this turns out for him today. But I'm really glad that he has been so successful. Meanwhile, the calls from Europe to arrest him are growing, Lee. I don't know if you're following this. I am. It's terrifying. They are point blank saying, and this is actually true, that he has violated the Online Safety Act, which he has.
Right, because it's a flawed law.
Oh, absolutely, because they want him, and the government of the UK has demanded that he take down those videos. So is the Irish government, of the beheading of that poor man.
The attempted beheading, but I mean,
his eyes were gouged
out. And
oh yeah, and you can see in the video the guy's sawing away right there in the thing. Yeah. You know what's crazy about this? Just as an aside, note on this story, that guy was an African immigrant and a Muslim who did that. A migrant who had just arrived. The guy who got his neck sawed and his eyes gouged out was a neighbor. And he went to him and he said, hey, let me help. Welcome to Ireland. Let me help you move. And he did. For 4 days, he helped him move. You know what's ironic about that? Everybody hates moving, right? Like it's the most miserable thing besides, mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe childbirth and surgery, in my experience.
I only know about one of those.
Yeah, don't try the other. No fun. But beautiful result, but no fun. So so he lets the guy help him unload the moving van, unload the boxes, do all the work for 4 days. then tries to behead him in the street. Then do it on day one, because who wants to move alone, right?
Yeah.
Boy. What a metaphor that is for all of Europe. Mm-hmm. So anyway, they're threatening to arrest him because they have asked him to take the video down because it makes people racist when they see it, and they want to get violent. What? No, I mean, what, racism is not what's the problem here. Yes, you want to get violent when you see an innocent man who obviously has a good heart get his head almost sawed off in the street.
Like you've said about Democrats here, it is more wrong to hurt someone's feelings than to actually kill them or try to.
Yes, absolutely. And so they have demanded Elon Musk take it down. Musk not only refused, but he doubled down on it and blamed them, European elites, for this.
Yeah.
And so they're now saying that they want to arrest him for violating the Online Safety Act, which, think about this, Lee, if he stepped foot in the UK or in Ireland right now, got off a plane, he wouldn't come back for a long time. He'd be in prison. Because he has refused and rebuffed their demands that he take it down. They are blaming him for the fact that Belfast is burning.
Right.
Not the migrant.
Right, exactly.
Not the immigration policies. And people don't realize how radical Ireland is. Their laws are actually worse than the ones in England. You can't, not only can you not make a derogatory statement of any kind about an immigrant, even if it's true, even if you are quoting actual crime stats from the government, you can't do it. It's even worse than that. You can't criticize migration policy at all online. It is considered racist. You can't have a debate. That's how bad it is. So you can understand how bad what Elon Musk did, according to their laws, because obviously X is in that country, It did. I mean, he flat out blamed the whole thing on them and reposted the video.
I'm old enough to remember something called the IRA, and I'm not talking about the individual retirement accounts. I'm talking about the Irish Republican Army there and the terrorist attacks that they did on the against the crown. And you don't want to mess with the Irish.
No, they will light you up.
You don't want to get them stirred up. Yeah, exactly. Just like they did those electric buses and other vehicles in Belfast, I believe.
So think about this for a moment. This is a guy who may become a trillionaire in short order.
On paper.
On paper. And, this is the world's probably foremost, most successful businessman at the moment.
Yeah.
And if he stepped off a plane into the UK or Ireland, he'd be arrested. Let that sink in. Pretty good chance it would happen in France, too, because remember, he's under criminal investigation there. For violating their free speech or anti-free speech laws as well. Now, think about this. If Democrats are in charge, they're already vowing to extradite Trump and Hegseth to The Hague for criminal, war crimes.
Yeah, right.
But, right? Like that, they're going to run on that in 28. They will absolutely extradite Elon Musk. So today he's, capitalist man of the hour. Yeah. He could be, I'm telling you, the wrong administration wins in 28. He will be extradited for trial to Europe.
He probably better hurry up and occupy Mars then.
Yeah, he's going to need it. They got free speech there still.
I don't think we have an extradition treaty with Mars yet.
No, but you can see the absolute panic in the UK, the laws that have been proposed and the measures proposed in the last couple of days. Now Keir Starmer is demanding that all of these tech titans, this is the ones making the phones, install software that will evaluate every text, photograph, graphic on your phone before encrypting it and save those that the AI, that the algorithm says are potentially in violation of speech laws.
Wow. That's stunning.
Yes. And if you produce and market or deliver a phone like that to UK shores, you could be arrested.
We used to worry about the thought police. Now it's the image police.
Yeah, it's all of it. Because you know why? You know what's really killing them is the memes.
Yeah.
That's what they want. They don't want the memes. So they're so concerned. They're not just going to put Elon Musk in prison if they can. They want to go in your phone and install that software.
Satire is sacrilege.
About that.
Satire is sacrilege to them.
I mean, that's at that point, that's China. So they've threatened to do that in the last couple of days because they're in a panic over this beheading because it affects them. So, by the way, a 44-year-old woman in Italy was just beheaded. This is the last 48 hours by another migrant.
Good grief.
So there's so much to cover up and so little time. And that doesn't even count, Keir Starmer, giving them 3 months. He says, we need to protect 16-year-olds and under on the internet. And so everyone's going to need to present a digital ID in order to be able to use the internet. And if not, your phone will be locked down at the source. In other words, it'll still work for phone calls and stuff, but you can't go on the internet. So you present the digital ID and prove you're not 16. That's been the last 3 days too. So they're going full on totalitarian response. So understand, Elon Musk will only be a free man unless and until Democrats win. That is who is having, we think, probably this successful IPO today. Okay, folks, look, I'm just going to lay it out where we are on Iran right now, which is pretty much nowhere, I guess. Trump says the war is over. Iran-linked hackers say they breached FBI drones, and Iran is now threatening the World Cup. Not sure how that's going to affect the deal. That just came down. I just got a text from a parent whose kids are going to the World Cup. Grown, I sound like adult kids. They're just very nervous. They should be. With Iran threatening the World Cup. President Trump says the U.S. has ended the war with Iran. Tehran said overnight, no final decision has been reached. And the Ayatollah has turned the deal down. At least publicly. I'm just trying to do the news. So 39 times in the last 65 days, Trump has said the U.S. and Iran were close to a deal, only have the Iranians openly mock the team, Trump, us, the U.S., and deny it. Iran's drawn multiple red lines in the sand and has violated none of them. Trump has drawn multiple red lines in the sand and has violated many of them. Yesterday, Trump went on Fox and Friends in the morning, really got the swirl going. He was going to bomb. He's going to resume the bomb. He's going to be ferocious. By the afternoon, he declared the bombings would cease because the deal was close. He claimed that the deal had buy-in from the Egyptians, the Emirates, the Saudis, the Kuwaitis, the Israelis, the Iranians, and more. Egypt then said they had no idea what he was talking about. They had no knowledge of the deal. Israel said it had no knowledge of a deal. By the end of the day, Israel was cut out, which didn't matter since they were never cut in and never knew a thing about it, even though Trump said in a True Social post, they did. Then Fars, the semi-official Iranian news agency that represents the voice of the Revolutionary Guard in Iran, said there was no deal. There never was a deal. There's not going to be a deal. Then overnight word came that the Ayatollah refused the deal. Then, as if to seal the whole situation, the Iranians started firing drones at commercial vessels in the Strait of Hormuz. So the president has said in the last few days that Iran is playing us. Less than 24 hours later, he came out and said that Iran was playing his negotiating team for suckers. Less than 24 hours after that, he came out and said that they were close to a deal with all those countries that didn't really seem to know anything about it. I don't know what we're doing. I don't know what we're doing. But that's what's going on. I'm just going to leave it there. I'll wrap with Mark Thiessen on Fox News, who shares my outrage that Iran and China, because it's really Chiran. Remember, China did the satellite targeting of our bases that resulted in the death of those 7 troops. That was just months ago. That Trump made a vow about Chiran killing our troops. And Thiessen lost it on Fox News yesterday.
I'm not sure. They keep saying they're proportional. I don't know what proportional is for trying to kill an American. I mean, the president said that if they killed an American, that was his red line, that we would return to combat. Well, they tried to kill an American. As Trey Yinks reported, the drone landed in the middle of the Apache between the pilots, but didn't explode. So just because it malfunctioned doesn't give them a pass. We have to treat this as if they killed an American. Several Americans, because that's what they tried to do, and we have to respond in kind. And the goal should not be to get them back to the table. We've launched 13,500 strikes, and it hasn't brought them to the table in any serious way. That's a hopeless cause at this point. We have to decapitate and destroy this regime.
So, what should the goal be?
Well, if you listen to the Sean Ryan podcast, if you've heard about it, he's got one of the most popular podcasts in the world, and it's a bunch of military and ex-military and. They kind of gather around the microphone Well, shock ensued when they learned from former CIA analyst Sarah Carter that Congress, most specifically the Senate, is still funding the Taliban. I mean, it's shocking. A lot of those guys are former special forces. They've really seen combat. These are guys who've watched friends hurt and killed in Afghanistan. Now, Afghanistan, we were in a war there for over 20 years. The enemy in that war was the Taliban, just so we're clear. We spent $2.3 trillion fighting the Taliban. We spent another $130 billion on top of it, rebuilding the country after we fought the enemy, the Taliban. The Taliban injured 20,000 of our service members, some of them very seriously. You see them now on Fox News when they're raising money for special, houses for them that are equipped for their, for their injuries, that are equipped for their now handicaps that they have. The Taliban did that. 20,000 injured. Almost 2,500 killed by the Taliban, who I might note was the enemy in Afghanistan, just we're all clear. John Thune refuses to stop funding them. The funding's coming out of the Senate. That's where it gets put in a budget. So Nancy Mace and Tim Burchett, having lost their minds over this, sponsored a bill to stop John Thune and the rhinos in the Senate from funding the Taliban for God knows what reason. And it passed. It passed the House. Good for Mike Johnson. Good for the Republicans over there. Good to know there are normal people left in Congress. And of course, John Thune is the majority leader of the Senate, the highest ranking Republican in Washington, aside from Donald Trump, unfortunately. So I played you the audio yesterday. A reporter finally asked John Thune, hey, you going to stop funding the Taliban? And he said, what? What are you talking about? Yeah. There's a bill in the House to stop funding the Taliban. You going to do that? He pretends not to know that the bill has passed the House and that he's blocking it. And then he says, no, I'm not letting it through.
Leader Thune, the House passed Tim Burchett's bill to defund the Taliban. I think it was 11 months ago. Every week that goes by, they get another $40 million. When can the American people expect to see a vote on this? And do you expect it to pass?
I don't know when. We don't have that on currently on the schedule here. And you said it's passed in the House?
Yes.
Okay. I have not seen it. If it's come over from the House, that's not something that we consider putting on the floor at this point.
Yeah, it's not something we consider putting on the floor at this point. Okay, well, cool, because then the Taliban gets $40 million every week. Well, I played that for you yesterday. Well, Tim Burchett was asked by the same reporter, he's the sponsor of the bill that passed the House to stop John Thune from funding the Taliban. John Thune says he doesn't know a thing about this. Burchett says BS. Remember when King Charles came and he went to the Senate and all his House members went over there to greet him? He said, yeah, he personally asked John Thune to stop funding the Taliban and said, hey, listen, could you please take up my bill to stop funding the Taliban? That happened weeks ago, he says.
So do you believe him when he says he hasn't seen the bill?
And well, I don't know how he can say that. I asked him about it there.
And oh, did you?
Yeah, sure.
So he's been asked. On the record, he has been asked.
I asked him personally.
And
asked
so he...
Maybe Burchett's the one not telling the truth, but I don't believe it. You know why? You're the Senate Majority Leader. You're going to tell me you don't know, you did not notice when the House passed a bill and asked you to take it up. That slipped your mind. Yeah, he's lying. But knowing this, that Burchett personally confronted him politely and said, hey, could you please stop funding the Taliban? Let's go ahead and get this bill through. What does Burchett think is behind this?
I asked Senator Thune, Leader Thune, yesterday about your defund the Taliban bill that passed the House. I think it was 11 months ago, but correct me if I'm wrong. He says he knows nothing about it and there's no plan to vote on it. What are your thoughts on that?
I just think it's what's going on. I think it cuts too many people and too much money, $40 million, and some of it's obviously flowing back here. I don't think it's flowing into Fenn's coffers or anything like that, but that's just, Elon Musk said we're probably stealing over $1 trillion. And I think that he's right. I've just seen it just keeps deeper and deeper, $40 million a week. And if they're not doing it, then why the heck won't they just pass it anyway? And this thing's been, 2 years now, and it's just ridiculous.
Now, I don't know if money's coming back here or not. That's speculation, but I do know this. They drop it off in pallets of cash. I am not kidding. I've run the pictures before from the mainstream media. What they do is the Taliban prints a bunch of funny money that they say is theirs. We even provide the printing paper, by the way. And then they bring this supposed currency and they trade it to us for dollars. That's how they're getting around the terrorism funding statute. Oh, because the Taliban's a designated terror group. Did I mention they killed 2,500 of our soldiers and wounded 20,000? Did I mention we spent $2.3 trillion, some of which we're still paying off, fighting these people? Oh, did I mention why we went there in the first place? The Al-Qaeda training camps? You know, bin Laden, they were sheltering the camps. Remember that? Oh, which brings up what they're doing now. See, this is the biggest outrage of all. Sarah Carter, former CIA analyst, now has her own private shop, intelligence shop. They've been watching Afghanistan. And what the Taliban are doing, they're sheltering Al-Qaeda again. This time it's bin Laden's son. I've played you all that audio before. And they've come up with this ingenious system because, like, the Iranian terrorists and the Sunni terrorists, you know, Shia, Sunni, the death cultists, they all hate each other. So bin Laden's son has brilliantly divided them into different terror training camps with geographical separation so they won't kill each other first. They can focus on killing us. That's what we're funding. We're keeping them in power. Now, folks, I know this sounds nuts, okay? I wrote a whole book on that. Well, I got about two-thirds of the way through. I never published it because I realized there was no audience, not on the right, not on the left. Because I had caught George W. Bush funding jihadi terrorists. I had caught Barack Obama. By the way, a report in the pages of Washington Post, you know, I didn't even actually catch him. You know, we were picking up ISIS members in Iraq and bringing them, flying them to Libya? LA Times reported that too. Our government? Yes, our government. We arm them. We train them. We fund them. And there was enough evidence of that. I was two-thirds of the way through the book and I went, you know what? No one's going to buy this. I'm wasting my time. It's wasting my time. No one's going to believe me. Because back then, everyone thought Bush was this great guy. Bush did it, and then Obama picked up right where he left off. Oh, they called them the moderate rebels. In fact, Obama bombed them into power in Libya. Yeah, the people wouldn't accept him. So remember, he flew in there behind the French planes. And yeah, you know what they were bombing? No one ever asked that question. The aqueducts. Oh, to force people to accept rule by ISIS because they live in a desert. You bomb the aqueduct connection lines. There's no water and they just die. They accepted rule by ISIS. We installed them after we armed and trained them and then personally moved them. But we do it all the time. We've been building Al-Qaeda for a very long time. Arming and funding it. I think in part just so we'll have an enemy in the future for the military-industrial complex to fight. It's been going on by the uniparty since Bush, and Thune's still doing it. And maybe some back here get a cut. Maybe they don't. I don't know. But it's $40 million a week. And he lied. He knew. Burchett said he personally told him weeks before.
Leader Thune, the House passed Tim Burchett's bill to defund the Taliban, I think it was 11 months ago. Every week that goes by, they get another $40 million. When can the American people expect to see a vote on this, and do you expect it to pass?
I don't know when. We don't have that on currently on the schedule here. And you said it's passed in the House?
Yes.
Okay. I have not seen it. If it's come over from the House, that's something that we consider putting on the floor at this point.
Yeah, it's fascinating. That man is evil. He's not just a bad dude or a dude we disagree with. That man is evil. Iran is going weirdly, yes. But don't miss the massive wins we've notched this week. They were not small and some of them were pretty dang funny. Bill Malusian, White House reporter for Fox News, pointing out that Donald Trump just signed the three-year funding deal for the Department of Homeland Security. And the thing that's really funny about that is they got an extra $70 billion that they wouldn't have otherwise had the Democrats not decided to shut down the Department of Homeland Security. Yeah, so you know the whole part where they put air flyers in danger. You had the attack on the TSA, which got defunded along with the Department of Homeland Security. That whole mess. People backed up for hours. In an attempt to defund ICE, what did Democrats get for that? Exactly nothing. Bill Malusian writes, what was the end result of the Democrats' Department of Homeland Security shutdown? Zero ICE reforms. And ICE and Customs and Border Patrol are now funded with an additional $70 billion through the rest of Trump's presidency. After negotiations fell apart in the Senate, Republicans simply went around the Democrats and funded Trump's immigration enforcement agenda on their own. And Democrats were powerless to stop it. And this is on top of the money ICE and Customs and Border Patrol already got in the One Big Beautiful Bill last year. ICE and Customs and Border Patrol, Bill Malusian writes, now have more money coming into their coffers than they ever would have if there had been no DHS shutdown. Oops, folks. We never used to win like this before Trump. It was always, well, we got to compromise. Why? I don't know. I always feel like it today. And mark my words, no way Thune wanted to do that. Trump bent him to his will. Now he's pummeling him again and again and again on the SAVE Act. Don't be surprised if Trump gets that through one way or another, the Senate. So it was a good week. And you should enjoy winning because you know what it means? You get to be safe. You get to be safe. And that's a good feeling. You get to be safe for the next 3 years. But folks, the wolf is at the door. Coming up in the next hour, Ben Berquam, an independent investigative reporter, is down in Mexico, documented 1 million illegal aliens just sitting down there waiting for Democrats to come back in power and open that border so they can charge it again. We'll have that more coming up.